Wendy Passmore. She's a member of our congregation, a spiritual director, and on this ACW Sunday is gracing us with her words of meditation and response.
You may be seated. Can you hear me okay? Is this okay, Mark? Up. I've got this... Is it coming through?
Yes.
Okay. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
I first of all would like to thank you, Terry and Carol, for inviting me to speak today. I'd also like to acknowledge it being the Anglican Church Women's Sunday and express great gratitude for the light and love given to our community and the community at large through the ACW. Today is the last day of the church's calendar year and celebrates reflects on the reign of Christ. I would like us to ponder the passage from today's gospel reading when Jesus was responding to Pilate. "You say that I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. I am a good person. I help others. Is this what this means? Partly, perhaps. But what is the truth that Jesus is talking about? And how does this fit into his saying that his kingdom is not from this world? I would like to explore three areas of our faith life in which we might ask ourselves if we belong to the truth. They include my understanding and relationship with God, my serving others, and my ability to forgive. So let us start with my understanding and relationship with God. Unlike an earthly king, leader, or person in power, Jesus reveals that God knows each one of us intimately and created us in love. Our perception of God throughout the centuries in the Christian West has been a distant deity to whom we have tried to appease and please. This, I might add, seems to be very much the worldly perception of bowing to authority. However, Jesus modeled throughout his earthly life an intimate relationship with God, where he spent quiet times listening and seeking empowerment through the Holy Spirit. His purpose and his daily activities were rooted and grounded in his relationship with God, where he was known and affirmed. As Jesus said, "Follow me," I sense we could and perhaps should open ourselves to having the same kind of intimate relationship with the divine. My need to perform and prove myself worthy is not the truth. The truth is, I am invited to be grounded in a loving relationship with the Creator, where who I am is affirmed, and how I can offer who I am in service to the world is revealed. From an external way of being, where I perhaps try to be what I am not, to an internal experience of an intimate relationship with a loving God who calls me to be just who I am. How freeing. I remember one day in my spiritual direction practice, I had back-to-back appointments. The first person was exploring her inner faith life and admitted to being fearful that God may be asking her to go to Africa to do mission work or something, which was totally not what she wanted to do. We reflected on what she loved to do and what she was passionate about, And she began to realize that perhaps who she was and what she loved to do was maybe her call in life. The very next person I met was so excited to share with me that her lifelong hope and dream was to go to Africa, and it was finally going to happen. It was quite a day. Once when my husband and I were talking about the afterlife, since he has faced it many times with his heart attacks and ongoing heart condition, he said that he believes that each one of us are a unique flash of brilliance in the speck of time among billions of souls. We are each unique, God's idea. And as we understand that we don't have to be anything other than who we are, through God's grace, we can be fully the person whom God created and loves. Am I listening to the truth that I'm the beloved of God? I am worthy. I matter. I am God's idea. I do not have to win God's love by what I do. I am loved, and as I allow this love in, I can relax and offer love to the world around me from that grounded and intimate place of divine relationship. As we think of serving others, the image of Jesus washing the disciples' feet exemplifies the truth of God's ways. Jesus came to serve, not to be served, as we would imagine a monarch sitting on a throne with subjects paying homage. I wonder if, as Jesus knelt and washed the feet of his disciples, he longed for them to know that they were loved, that they were special, and they mattered. I wonder if in our acts of kindness, when we are grounded in this love, our longing for those we serve might be just this: for them to know they are loved, they are special, and they matter. As you know, many of us here are fans of Francis of Assisi. Francis felt that to know an artist, it helps to spend time with their art. And thus, to know the Creator, we need to spend time in noticing and experiencing the wonder of creation. Francis saw in every human person a beautiful creation of God and would bow before the mystery and wonder of God's creativity. A person might not have yet come into the realization of that reality, but respect for all God's creation was what Francis lived and exemplified. Francis, in washing and caring for the lepers, longed for them to know that they mattered and how loved they were by God. A stunning example of the servant relationship unfolded when Francis went to the Pope to seek blessing for his new Franciscan order. On his third attempt, Pope Innocent III agreed to an audience. In all the pomp and ceremony of the Vatican court, Francis, in all his poverty and simplicity, proclaimed the gospel of following Jesus, trusting in God's provision for the journey. As he preached to the gathering, he was ushered out. But the Pope was so moved by this poor man from Assisi, he called him back and came down from his papal throne to listen more closely. He knelt and kissed Francis's feet, giving him the blessing and protection of Rome. This Pope, who became caught up in pomp, ceremony, and governments, lost his way and relationship with the divine. He recognized the truth of God's presence and spirit in Francis, and he bowed before it. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. I wonder if we can just take a moment and pray for what's going on in our midst here, in the midst of this. Let's pray for Bert quietly in our hearts as he's taken out in the ambulance. Bruce, Let us pray for Bruce as he goes to the hospital, that your loving, healing presence will be with him, Lord. We thank you for those who are caring for him. God be with him. So continuing on in our reflection on serving others, in our day, Mother Teresa, who served and lived in community with the poor and dying of Calcutta, and Jean Vanier, who lives in community with the mentally and developmentally challenged, serve as wonderful models of those wanting to live and affirm the marginalized. The community that is evolving around the Loony Lunch here at St. James is another wonderful expression of God's love and affirmation of all people. Washing feet through providing fellowship, food, and hospitality reflects God's longing that we all know that we are loved and that we matter. We are all part of God's kingdom. At one time or another, we have all been challenged to forgive those who have hurt us. Jesus showed us the way of forgiveness in this earthly life. He forgave all those who led him to the cross. He forgave even when on the cross. Before the Golgotha journey, he spent hours in prayer, communing with God, as he sought to be empowered by the Spirit for what was ahead. Rather than retribution or an eye for an eye, God's ways invite us to a grace-filled existence where we are able to forgive. Most times it takes time to authentically forgive, where it is not merely words, but a heartfelt experience. For Jesus, spending time in prayer, connecting with the love and power of the Holy Spirit, enabled him to face a grueling death, and in the midst of that pain, to forgive. It is not easy, but it is the truth of God's kingdom ways. I found an example of this journey toward forgiving as I've been reading Wahb Kanu's book entitled The Reason You Walk. Wahb tells the story of his father, who as a young boy was taken with his siblings to Mary Lake Residential School in Kenora. He was beaten if he spoke his Ojibwe language. He was raped by a nun, and subsequently by others. He witnessed his best friend beaten and raped by white boys from town, and then was lied to by the principal saying his friend died of TB. At his father's funeral, as with Anishinaabe custom, he stood by his father's casket. He was later severely punished in front of the school assembly for not kneeling. The story of abuse went on throughout his school years. Anger and rage grew inside him. From this twisted, abusive background, how could he possibly find his way to a life of relationship with the divine and others, to a life of serving others, and to a heart willing not only to forgive, but to be reconciled? For Wahb's father, after being the toughest knock-em-down guy around, he realized that he did want something more. It was a lifelong spiritual quest for healing. He rediscovered and experienced his people's traditional relationship with the Creator through ceremonies and dancing. He also embraced the truth of Jesus' message, even though he experienced such a disconnect between the truth of Jesus' words and the actions of those who are supposed to be his earthly representatives. As his story unfolds, Wahb tells of how his father gains respect in both his community as hereditary chief and as an educator at the University of Winnipeg. In a grand gesture of reconciliation, he adopts the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Winnipeg as his brother in a traditional Ojibwe ceremony. Through tragedy and pain, he began to open his heart to family life, as was intended. But he had to learn much, as his formative experience held no love or nurture, but rather fear and abuse. On his deathbed, the archbishop came to visit. The family asked that he say a prayer, which he did, and finished by asking Wob's father to pray for him too. To everyone's surprise, this dying man prayed. He asked the Creator to bless this black robe. He told the Creator this black robe was his brother, and thanked the Creator for all of the gifts we encounter in this world, for loving all people. He concluded his prayer with Mia, which means that's it. He shortly thereafter died. Those were his last words. Wob had been praying for a miracle for a long time. It was a different sort of miracle witnessed here. His father had lived long enough to see an apology from Stephen Harper, but now he had also lived long enough to show forgiveness as well. Wob's father spent his life seeking communion with the Creator as he sought inner healing. This led him to not only forgive the abusers and institution that victimized him, but also to be reconciled as he had the divine vision that we are all brothers and sisters on a journey in this life. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. In summation, it seems that Jesus showed us a different way of being in the world. God's ways are not our ways. As Jesus modeled, you and I were created in love. And it seems that our task is to be who we are meant to be, with our passions and interests expressed in the world in service to others. We are called to empower others rather than to exercise dominating power. The journey towards forgiveness can be long and arduous, but with our willingness and God's empowerment, it can happen. There is a song from the Anishinaabe people that Wob sang to his father at the end of his life. It is words from the Creator to all of us, which I believe also reflects the Christian path. I am the reason you walk. I created you so that you might walk this earth. I am the reason you walk. I gave you motivation so you would continue to walk, even when the path becomes difficult, even seemingly impossible. I am the reason you walk. I animated you with that driving force called love, which compelled you to help others who had forgotten they were brothers and sisters, to take steps back towards one another. And now, my son, as that journey comes to an end, I am the reason you walk, for I am calling you home. Walk home to me on that everlasting road. And Wob's last words as he reflected on his father's life: to be hurt, yet forgive. To do wrong, but forgive yourself. To depart from this world, leaving only love. This is the reason you walk. Amen.